It's one of the most stubborn and long-lasting problems produced by 10 years of war. Traumatic brain injury and the care requirements it needs, that's going to be with the government for a very long time. But there is progress in treatment. Joining us to discuss some of these new developments is Dr. Andrew Richeson, senior consulting psychologist at DRC. He's standing by with Tom Temin at the FCA Health IT Day in Bethesda. Hi, Tom.
Good morning, Emily. Thank you so much. Okay, Dr. Richeson, let's start at the beginning. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you.
Tell us what DRC does in the first place. I know you're a broad-based contractor, but what do you do for VA and DOD in this whole area?
DRC is involved in trying to bring innovation and solutions to challenging problems within the space. A lot of them are involving healthcare and health challenges within the MHS, DOD, VA.
All right. So you are a consulting psychologist, so you know about what goes on above the neck. How well equipped is the military and VA to deal with traumatic brain injury at this point?
We're getting more and more well equipped to do that. We've had a lot of years at war, and we've had a lot of experience trying to develop new ways to approach these challenges. A lot of them above the neck, a lot of them below the neck as well.
Sure, and it sounds like they are not going it alone. They've got in people like you and, I guess, the best from industry as well as what they know throughout their own medical systems.
The fact of the matter is that these solutions can't wait, and so we're trying to leverage the best of what we have currently, and a lot of the things around multidisciplinary care and reaching out to other organizations helps to use what we have to treat the people who need the help now.
Now, since the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, they've produced a lot of these types of injuries because I guess people survive what might have killed a soldier in earlier conflicts thanks to some of the covering they have and the MRAPs and so forth. Is it fair to say that these conflicts have advanced the state of the art in treating traumatic brain injury?
As a regrettable necessity, yes, they have. And the survivability rates have increased markedly. But along with that, the nature of the injuries have changed as well. We simply haven't seen these sorts of injuries before.
Well, describe them a little bit to us. What are we seeing? I mean, you know,
one of the most pernicious combinations is around TBI, traumatic brain injury, and post-traumatic stress. And these often occur at the same time. They're called comorbid, and they bring with it a whole lot of symptoms that we don't really well understand currently, and we don't understand the way it's going to progress over time. So as we go along, we're adding to the science, but we also have a current need to care. So we can't be patient. We have to give them the treatment now.
So when someone is injured in the brain, there is a pathology of the brain tissue, but there's also a psychological effect. And so do you treat them both, one before the other? How does that work?
Case by case, there's no one size fit all, but both of these things, psychological and physical, are happening against sort of a social tapestry as well. It's a very complicated thing to unpick which to do first and what's causing what.
All right, so tell us what happens. Someone is brought in, say, to a DOD medical facility. They have or suspected of having a brain injury. Walk us through what happens.
Well, the most interesting thing that's happening now is what hasn't happened in the past. They are getting much better diagnosis, much better disease detection, and the treatments are unfolded in a much more rapid fashion because of how much we know now. And part of the really exciting new sciences is around imaging and a way of diagnosing and treating these injuries. That's on the horizon as well, so very exciting.
So is it necessary to have the imaging on scene? In other words, suppose they go to Germany, say, from Iraq, before they come back, or from Afghanistan, before they would return to the United States. Are these the types of injuries that require fast response initially, like a heart attack type of thing?
Unfortunately, this is an area that's still a little bit gray. Imaging and TBI is an area that people seldom agree on, but certainly being in there rapidly and being able to mobilize care quickly is something that's critical for any disease.
So it's good. Do you find that they're putting that kind of capability or imaging equipment on the front lines?
Very much so.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Okay, we're speaking with Dr. Andrew Richeson. He's senior consulting psychologist and program manager for DRC. We are at the Bethesda Health IT Day in Bethesda, Maryland. And so what are some of the latest clinical developments in treating TBI?
Strangely enough, some of the most recent clinical developments involve putting the people in place who are able to make those developments stick in the places they need to happen. So if you can put people in between IT, health technology, and all of those exciting developments and the actual need on the ground or in the clinics and have people championing that and acting as change agents, that's one of the most important clinical developments, and it is, in fact, the least clinical.
And beyond the initial assessment and finding out what's going on, what do you do with the brain? I mean, if someone has a cut, you know how to sew it up. If they, you know, something internally, organs, you can go in and do surgery. You can't do that with the brain exactly. So what? How do you treat brain injury?
The brain is a wonderful thing, and it is plastic. It develops, and it can grow, and it can also be tremendously injured. What we need to do is to work on rehabilitation and bringing people back to health.
And so what kinds of symptoms are the most common for people that have TBI?
Well, it occurs on a wide expanse. I think some of the most common ones are like memory loss, difficulty with concentration, and also emotional things. Depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress are all related back to that original insult to the brain, the TBI.
And I imagine the families have to be involved in this, because what they see is the outward problem, which is the psychology, and it's hard to probably... Even though they may know it intellectually, it's hard to accept the fact that it's not because the person is willfully acting in a way that's unsocial.
You've got it. Families and society in general are going to have to deal with this over the next many years to come, and they will carry on the treatment contract.
Now, you're helping on the ground in the immediate situation, but as you say, this is something that people are going to have to live with for a long time. So in your opinion, or in what you've seen, is the system, that is DOD, VA, complex, aware and planning for the type of long-term situation that they're facing?
I think they are, and they know that they're going to have to be more lean, more efficient processes, and we're really going to have to roll out new treatments as they become available. It's going to be a big influx. It is a challenge, but fortunately there are people and organizations and companies out there to help bring that challenge to a solution.
And it sounds expensive. Can it be done in a way that keeps driving costs down? I mean, I guess we should ask the question of the day here. What sorts of information technology components are there to this branch of treatment?
There are many efficiencies that can be gained through IMIT and through solutions around that, and those will have cost efficiencies down the line, costly at the beginning, cheaper down the line. This is a cost we're all paying.
I imagine information sharing, say from one clinician to another, suppose they see there could be a similar injury that 1,000 miles apart in treatment. Maybe there's some way they could get together more efficiently.
Oh, very much so. And one of the greatest cost efficiency is around multidisciplinary teaming, not doctor and patient, but a care team and patient. And that way you're getting a lot of different perspectives at once, and you're able to more effectively treat the problems. And that's a way of causing an efficiency that's both treatment and cost.
And are there new drugs coming into this field also?
Every day. Yep. Yep.
All right. Dr. Andrew Richeson is Senior Consulting Psychologist and Program Manager for DRC. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.